going to be in one verse, verse 38, Jesus talking, Matthew 10, verse 38. And he, and you're the he, whether you're a man or a woman, you're the he that Jesus is talking about. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me, not worthy of me. Pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for help, Lord. Just find me everything I just talked about. Very important subject. It needed to be said, Lord. I pray, Father, we'd be able to focus on you. We'd be able to focus on you. We'd be able to adore you, to love you, to follow you, to fear you, to rejoice in you, Lord. I pray for that now. Your word says here, Jesus, this very hard verse, I pray that you make it not hard. I pray that you make it just a spectacular, wonderful verse that's so encouraging. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Do that perfect, glorious work in our hearts. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Okay, so we're in one verse. He who does not, this is what Jesus speaking to you, Jesus speaking to me, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. What, okay, why is he saying this? What's the context? What's going on? Why does he say such a thing? The answer is this. It relates back to verse 16 of this chapter, which we've been in for several weeks, where Jesus says, behold, I send you. And the you is you. Jesus began in chapter 4 of Matthew, and he was on his own. No one had been sent yet. He was on his own, and his message was really simple at the beginning. It was this. Mark chapter 1, do we have that, Heather? Very simple. Repent, meaning turn away and turn away from whatever you're doing and turn now to God and believe in the gospel. Gospel means good news. What is the good news? The good news is this. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John 5:1. This is good news. Why is this good news? Because Jesus says you must be born again in order to enter heaven, in order to have a relationship of God. A man must be born of God, but man is born into sin apart from God, rejecting God, and he can come right back and be born again with God simply by doing one thing, with his whole heart, believing that Jesus is the Christ. So it's repent and believe Jesus is the Christ, and you will be born again. And so, in verse 16, it says, behold, I send you. Behold, I send you. So at this point, it changes from Jesus doing it on his own to basically everyone else. Because as we've discussed, verse 16, he's talking not just to the 12 apostles, but everyone who is ever going to become a Christian. He sends you. He sends you into your neighborhoods, into your office, into the streets, into your families. He sends you to, in one way or another, open your mouth about Jesus, repent and believe the gospel, And the gospel being what? The good news being what? That, listen, whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. You need God. You were created by God. This whole world is about God, but you came out of your mama's womb, shaking your fists, rejecting God, something you inherited way back through your forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve, and you're dead to God, but now you can be alive to God. You can be born again to God simply by believing the gospel. He says in verse 16, behold, I send you. Behold, I send you. So he's sending right then. Now, last week, we were in verse 32. In verse 32, first few verses, it says, whoever confesses me before men, him also will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. And so that is verse 32. And what does he mean when he says, whoever confesses me before men? It's the same thing. Whoever gets in their families, their work, wherever, and they make this confession. Do we have that, Heather? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And he says, whoever does that, whoever makes that confession will be received by the Father. I will confess him to the Father. By the way, we have a baptism coming up. If you have never been baptized, that's a problem. I'm talking baptism not as an infant, as I was, but later on, after confessing Jesus, after making him the God of your life, the Bible says, be baptized. It's a form of confession. It's when verse 32 says, he who confesses me before God, part of that is being baptized. So if you haven't been baptized, after handing over your heart to the Lord and declare and believing that Jesus is the Christ, please see me or one of the leaders. So that's what verse 32 is about. And we talked last week that the confession, when he says, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before your Father in heaven. He's talking about not only with your words, but remember, with your lives. With your lives. Now, verses 34 through the verse that we're in this morning, 38, it's talking about, and it's describing a life. Can we have that again, Heather? It's describing a life of what it looks like, which is born of God. When a person's born of God, what does it look like? Well, verse 34 says, Jesus says, do not think, read it with me now, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, ladies who just took the ladies' Bible study, what does that sword represent? Come on now, ladies. Come on. I'm waiting. What is it? The Word of God. You're speaking about the Word of God here. I didn't come to bring peace on earth. I did not, but a sword. Speaking of the Word of God, for I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. And so you take into your family, this verse of Jesus. Do we have that, Heather? Mark 1. You take into your family that verse, repent and believe the gospel, and then you also take in the gospel, which is the next verse. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Say goodbye to peace in many families. You're talking at that point. There's going to be, well, what are you doing talking about in the family? You know that what we grew up. We didn't grow up like this. You don't talk about these things. I never remember ever talking about the Bible or anything growing up at the dinner table. You start doing it, though. Oh man, the sword has come into that family, meaning there's a the peace has been disrupted. The family gets mad and upset. Verse 37 says, Jesus says, he who, again, what are these verses are about? It's about someone whose life appears to be born of God. So they're confessing Jesus Christ. Jesus says, whoever confesses me, they're confessing Jesus Christ with their life. So verse 37 says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. So father, mother, when they come to your house, your father, mother, and they don't ask, they ask you not to pray before the meal, you have to tell them no. If your father or mother starts telling racist jokes in front of your kids, you say, not in this house. If they start to drink a lot when they are around you, you tell them, I can't be around you when you drink that much. Confessing Jesus Christ with your life. It goes on to say, verse 37, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Well, what does that look like? What does that look like? Well, sports season has come around. I want my kids to be just like all the other kids. So no church for this season. The music is in the house, and there's clearly music in the house, but they're a teenager, and man, you know the lyrics are really bad, but you just let them do the music in the house. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to go to youth group. Well, okay, you're making your own decisions, Mr. 14-year-old. No, that's all loving your kids more than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that is. That's what he's talking about. That's not a life that looks like someone who is confessing Jesus, who has been born of God, confessing Jesus. And then we come to verse 38, which we'll spend the rest of our time with this morning. This is what a life looks like who's confessing. Jesus says, verse 32, whoever confesses me before men, that's words, but it's also a life. Also a life. What does it look? Can we have one more time, Heather? 1 John chapter 5, 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So this verse that we're going to get in, this verse, someone obeys it, someone looks at this life, they're going to say, I don't even believe in God, but if there is a God, that person's been born by that God. And it's a difficult verse. Again, Jesus says, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. What is Jesus talking? The book of Matthew, I think the best way to understand your verse, by the way, I prayed so much, what are you talking about, Lord? Or how do you want me to communicate this? What is this talking about? I get it, you were on a cross. You're telling me unless I take up my cross and follow you, I'm not worthy. What does that mean? Well, I feel like the Lord spoke to me very directly. Well, you got to start with that incredibly sacred picture of Jesus. You're not going to understand this verse unless you talk a little bit about Jesus himself being on the cross. And you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 27, you have this very sacred, unbelievably sacred passages about Jesus' road cross. Verse 11 of Matthew 27, it says, Jesus stood before the governor. In other words, the governor who had the power to either let him off, crucify him. So this governor, his name was Pilate. Jesus is standing before him. It says in Matthew, it says, at that time, which was the Passover, at that time of year, which was the Passover feast, the governor had a tradition of releasing to the multitude one prisoner. And Jesus was a prisoner. And Jesus is sitting before the governor. In verse 22, it says, the governor says to the crowd, what do I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Verse 22, the whole crowd says, what? Let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? They cried out much louder, let him be crucified. Then it says that at that time, he released another prisoner to them, Barabbas. It says when he had Jesus whipped, it says verse 26 of Matthew chapter 27, he delivered Jesus to be. Then he handed him over to the Roman soldiers. Take him to Golgotha where he would be crucified. It says in verse 31 that the soldiers mocked him. They took off his robe, put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to be crucified. Verse 35, it says, when they crucified him, rather than they crucified him, they arrived at Golgotha, which is called the place of the skull. It kind of looked, if you've been over there to Israel, there's this little place they think it was. It looks like a skull. When they got there, it says, then they crucified him, and they divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots. In other words, he was crucified naked. It says in verse 39, those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their head, saying, you who say you're going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, why don't you just save it? Isaiah 53, verse 5, describing the cross, describing Jesus Christ, says that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. In other words, for your sin, for whatever you've ever done wrong in your life, and for your heart, which the Bible says is a place which is the seat of a lot of trouble, a lot of evil, and a lot of wickedness, Jesus was crushed, it says. Now that word crushed, if you go into the Strong's, actually, the Strong's, it says Greek dictionary, it's the Hebrew dictionary. What it means is to crumble, to beat to pieces, to break in pieces, to bruise, to crush, to destroy. Jesus Christ was beaten to pieces because of your sin on the cross. And then I love this from Psalm 69:20. I love it. I don't like reading it, but just really profound. It just makes me want to love Jesus Christ with all my heart, soul, and mind. It says, Jesus on the cross, this is what he's thinking. Psalm 69 is about what's going through his mind during the crucifixion. Insults have broken my heart. If you think Jesus Christ is just this guy who's insulted and it just goes ping like off him, no. It's just not true. He's not only God, he's a man like you and me. He's a human being like you and me. Insults have broken my heart. So his flesh on the cross is being crushed, not only because an iron stake was driven through his flesh on his left hand, his right hand, and his feet, but the weight of the punishment of your sin, the Bible says in Isaiah 53. Crushed him to pay the punishment for your sin, because the Bible says the punishment for your sin is death and hell, and Jesus experienced death and hell for you on the cross. So with that, let's read again Matthew 10:38. It says that he who does not take his cross follow after me is not worthy of me. Okay? Whatever, again, I don't know, Steve. I don't know if I'm helped at all up to this point. What does this mean? Well, it doesn't mean that you somehow need to pay the punishment for your own sins. Only Jesus can do that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says this. This man, Jesus Christ, this is a Bible verse if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, please write this down. Hebrews 10, 12. It says this. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice on the cross for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You can't possibly pay God anything for anything you ever have done, are doing, or will do in the future. It was that bloody, messy scene on the cross that was an offering one time for good. So when Jesus says in verse 38, he who does not take up his cross and follow him, he's not talking about somehow you trying to get crucified or whatever, or going through pain to pay for your sins. That's not what he's talking about. Then what does it mean? Let me quote one more Bible verse explaining what it means. Ephesians 2, what a glorious verse this is. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So important, last two words. With Christ. Pero Dios, que es rico en misericordia, por su gran amor con que nos amó, aun estando nosotros muertos en pecados, nos dio vida juntamente con Cristo. Últimas palabras ahí, los dos palabras, con Cristo, muy, 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 muy importante. With Christ. Now, why do I say that? Because when you say to Jesus Christ, okay, I get it now. I can never be good enough or pay you back for my sin. I deserve death and hell. I believe that you came to save me and you died for me and you rose from the dead. The Bible says you've been joined with Christ. It says made us alive together with Christ. You've been joined to Jesus Christ. You've been joined to his joy. Jesus says at the very end of his ministry to his disciples, everything I've told you because I want you to have my joy. You've been joined to his joy. You've been joined to his peace. You've been joined to his goodness. You've been joined to his wisdom. And Calvary Chapel, you have been joined to the cross. So what does that mean? It means this: by agreeing to come to Jesus Christ, you're agreeing to place your body, your flesh on the cross and have your flesh crushed. Follow after me is not worthy of me. Galatians chapter 5 says this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, and that would be you guys. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucified. Better way of possibly translating this, I understand this would be a fair translation. Those who belong to Christ Jesus are crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, what does that mean? What is the flesh? What do you mean crucifying the flesh? Jesus, his flesh was literally crushed on the cross. Now you, with Jesus, you're joined to his joy, his peace, his goodness, his righteousness, and also with the cross to have your flesh crushed. What does that mean, my flesh crushed? Next verse. The acts of the flesh, meaning your flesh, meaning the old man, the old woman. The Bible says you have an old man, an old woman. It says you have, when you accept Jesus, you have a new man, and the new man starts taking over. Thank God. And one day we're going to have a not a new man and an old man in the same body. We're going to have one body. It's a glorified body. But this is describing your heart, your flesh. The acts of the flesh are obvious, among other things, sexual immorality, impurity, jealousy, selfish ambition, envy, and the like. That's what your flesh is. Okay, try to follow me. Remember this verse. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. As a Christian, verse 38, whoever wants to come after me must take his cross. You have to live an ongoing life every day, every moment of allowing your flesh to be crushed. Remember how we defined it? Just broken up in pieces, smashed in pieces. Again, what's the Greek word for crushed? What's the Greek word for crushed? Actually, it's Hebrew word. To crumble, to beat in pieces, to break in pieces, to bruise, to crush, to destroy. Heather, can I have Galatians 5, the flesh again? So when there's going to be certain things in your life, the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, jealousy, selfish, ambition, envy. When they come in, when you see them rising to the top, when you realize they're there, you crush them. And how do you crush them? You go to God and you say, I hate this. I hate what is in my heart right now. Can we have the 1 Corinthians 13 verse read at every wedding? 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 says this. Love, and who is God? Love. God is love. Jesus Christ is love embodiment. Jesus Christ is the embodiment. It's love in human flesh. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, meaning when you do something loving, you don't start parading it around for everyone to see. Love is not puffed up. It's not, woo, I'm with the great thing that I just did. That's not what love is. But I find it very interesting, speaking of the flesh, that three out of the first five, this is, by the way, it's a definition of agape love. It wasn't even a word that was used in the Greek world. So Paul had to have a chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, which is this, to tell exactly what love is. Three of the first five all have to do in one way or another with envy. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. In other words, parading yourself, boasting, in other words, is just the opposite of envy. It's not envying someone else. It's hoping they envy you. And that's in your heart. The Bible says that's in your flesh. And the Bible says when that starts approaching, you got to do something about it. Because you are called to take up your cross and follow Jesus. And what do we say that means? That means you're joined to Jesus now. It means you're joined to the cross where the flesh is crushed. Where this, can I have that again, Heather? Where these verses, love does, where envy parading itself, puffing up, is crushed in your life. You don't just say, well, this stuff is normal. I remember there was, at Calvary Chapel, we have a practice of baby dedication. Can I have Galatians 5 again? The acts of the flesh. We have a practice of baby dedications here, and someone who is super honest with me, married and unable to have kids, I just so appreciate honesty. Man, if the family of God can't be honest with each other. But this person told me that every time there was a baby dedication, they had to leave. And I appreciated the honesty. The reason they left is because they couldn't have kids. They couldn't bear to rejoice someone who's rejoicing. Romans chapter 12, the form of envy. You can't rejoice with someone who rejoiced. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, purity, jealousy, ambition, selfish ambition, envy. If you can't rejoice with someone who's rejoicing, you get an envy problem. You have been called. Can't have kids. Stay in the baby dedication. Rejoice with those who rejoice, but don't just grin and bear it. You go home and you cry out to the Lord, God, you know I can't. You know I hate that. You know I can't stand it. You know I want it be so bad. You know I want it, Lord. Please help me. Give me your grace. That is being joined to the cross. That is having your flesh crushed. And that's just one bitty little example of envy. Can we have the love verse, verse Corinthians 13? That's just one little tiny example about envy. Remember, love does not parade itself. It's you're trying to get other people to envy you. This is like everything. This is going to the Lord when your flesh is just disturbing your peace. It's robbed you of your joy. And Lord, you know I want that job. You know I want the health that that sister has, the health that that brother has. Lord, you know I want a spouse. Lord, you know I want a ministry that actually there's some kind of fruit in. Lord, you know I want a family. You know I want friends. Lord, you know I do. That is how your flesh crushed. Jesus says in verse 38, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He's saying, when you're agreeing to hand over your heart to me, you're agreeing to not only be joined to my joy, not only joined to my righteousness, not only joined to my goodness, you're fastening yourself. You're joined to the cross in Calvary Chapel. I promise you, if you persevere in it, actually being joined to the cross will become a joy. It'll be a source of worship. It's like, Lord Jesus, I can't believe I have this privilege to be joined to the cross just like you were joined to the cross. Thank you, Lord. Only help me, God. One of my life verses, 2 Corinthians 4:11. Can you please stand at this time? If you have a child in nursery or Sunday school, please, one parent, go get them. You can bring them back here. Second Corinthians 4:11 says this. This is Scripture Memory Night, by the way. It's coming again in September. And one of the first verses I ever memorized, brand new Christian. We who are alive. This is, by the way, this is a different kind. The same. This is Matthew 10:38, where Jesus says, anyone who comes after me, take up their cross and follow me. This is the same verse, except it's the Holy Spirit saying it with different words. We who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. See, when you join yourself to the cross, your flesh is crushed. You don't just grit your teeth and bear it. No, that's going to make you bitter against God if you grit your teeth and bear whatever it is that you don't have or whatever it is you want your life to be. You go and you before the Lord, you crush the flesh. The Bible says his life, Jesus' life, will be revealed in that mortal body. In other words, people will be looking at you saying, that man, that woman is born of God. We're going to have a time of prayer. If you could come up, if you've been asked to pray at this time. You've been asked to pray at this time. If you could please come up. We're going to sing a worship song. But I just want to give an opportunity now anybody in this room, you've never been baptized. You've never come baptized, I mean, after giving over your heart to Jesus. Never been baptized. Never made that confession before men. Yes, Jesus is my Lord. He's my King. He's my Savior. I can be born of God just by believing of them. If you've never done that, please come up and let's pray about that. You know, I grew up in a family, never heard the slightest thing about God at any family gathering my whole life. But my whole family came to God in like my early 20s. It was a wonderful thing. But I'd been in many churches, but I had never in my life came to Jesus and said, I've been in control my whole life. You have not been in control. And I realize now that the Bible says the punishment for that is hell. And so I'm going to do what you're telling me to do, Jesus. Your word says you're knocking at the door of my heart. I just want you to come in. Change me. And you take the drivers. You take the wheel. I'm done with it. This has been a miserable mess, me doing it. If you've never done that, if you've never said that prayer to the Lord, come on up. We'll pray with you. If there's anything else, the flesh being crushed can be a real hard thing. Envy or whatever else it is, the acts of the flesh, there's this long list in Galatians 5 of the flesh. Sexual immorality, there's anger, drunkenness, there's a long list of the flesh. And it can be it's a crushing process. You've been joined with Jesus on the cross and you just want someone to pray for you. Come on up. We'll pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for this service.